And welcome into another installment of Drive the Valley, presented by Chippewa Valley Mazda. Scott Montesano here. We got our friend Bill, as always, from Chippewa Valley Mazda. He's got his Diet Coke, so I know he is set to go. And Bill, hope things have been going well for you.
Things are going great, man. I mean, spring is kind of around the corner, and it's sunny out today. So I feel like things are in motion for a big summer ahead.
And, of course, we always remind everybody, you know, check out Chippewa Valley Mazda online. Make plans to come out and check out what they have. And go back and listen to some of our previous episodes as well. Bill talks about car buying and also talks to some of his friends as well. And we've had some great guests on this podcast. And you've brought on somebody else you call a friend. I'm sure it's reciprocated. But who did you bring on this week? I'm going to sit back and listen to another great conversation.
Yep. I always say the friend bank is getting, harder and harder to pick from. But this is actually a very good friend of mine. So, I was going through the list and I'm like, all right, well, who would be intriguing to people out there? I know people aren't listening to listen to me. So this person popped into my mind, one, because the profession they do is completely intriguing. This person's also involved in a ton of charitable organizations, does a ton of charity work for causes that are pretty close to him. So I brought a judge on today, and I brought on Judge Steve Gibbs, who's a dear friend of mine and is always entertaining. And this is kind of bittersweet. Like, we haven't seen each other in a really long time. And normally we do about every 4 or 6 weeks, we do a lunch get together. We haven't done that for a very long time, so it'll be good to catch up with you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things, why don't you tell us about yourself? Tell like everybody who you are. Obviously you're Steve Gibbs, but obviously, like, how did you professionally and personally get into what you're doing, and what was that journey like?
I was born and raised here. My parents bought their lake lot in Lake Wissota in 58 for $900. My dad built the house my mother still lives in.
That's worth something right now, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's quite
that's
appreciated.
That changed. That lake has changed. $900. I'll give you a grand right now.
Yeah, there you go. I went to Stilson School out there in Lafayette. Then ended up at, I was the last class through the old junior high school where Family Fair downtown is. Graduated in 1980 from Chippewa Falls Senior High School. Went to the University of Wisconsin-Platteville and graduated from there in 84 with a double major in criminal justice and political science. Then on to Hamline University School of Law in St. Paul. Graduated from there in 88 and worked for about 7 years up in the Twin Cities as an attorney. Took the Wisconsin bar then, and in 94, I believe, I moved back to this area and ended up buying a hobby farm about 2 miles from where I grew up. Worked with her telling Gibbs for about 19 years in Eau Claire. And then in 2012, Governor Walker appointed me the district attorney of Chippewa County. And in 2017, he appointed me circuit court judge in Chippewa County. And I had to run for election in 18, and I'm next up in 24. So that's kind of a long way of how I got to where I am.
Damn, I didn't realize you were that old. I met you back. I was trying to think of that, but I think I met you back when you were district attorney, right?
Correct.
For Chippewa County, yeah. So what's it? This is, I think we're all probably intrigued or interested to hear this, but what's it like? First of all, what is circuit court? How does circuit court vary from other courts? Like, what does it mean to be a circuit court judge?
Well, they used to have municipal court judge, and then they'd have circuit court judges. So they used to, quote, ride the circuit around. Wisconsin had municipal court. Some still do, like Stanley has a municipal, stuff like that. They aren't attorneys who are the judges and things like that. But they codified in the state of Wisconsin to make each county have circuit courts. So that in Chippewa County, we have three based upon our caseload. Eau Claire has five. Dunn County just got their third one. So it all is based upon the residency and your caseload that goes in. We don't specialize. Okay. So I'll have a mental commitment after a divorce hearing and a child support matter and a criminal plea and child in need of protection and services all in the same day.
Wow.
So we don't specialize. We take everything. So it was a big eye-opening experience when I became a judge because there were areas of the law. I practiced when I was an attorney in most of the areas were criminal defense. I did some corporate work. I did personal injury work. I represented a lot of businesses, a lot of municipalities, and things like that. I didn't know anything about the mental commitments where people were getting chaptered. I didn't know anything about the child in need of protection and services stuff. So there was a whole new area of the law that had opened up for me. And the best way I could describe it, my first 2 months was drinking from a fire hose.
I'll guarantee it was. Like, you know, I mean, that's the strange part or the cool part about it, though, has got to be that, you know, you see diversity in your cases. So, and I mean, there has to be a fatigue factor if you're a traffic court person and all you do is hear traffic court, you know, all day long, that probably is fatiguing in its own way after a certain point in time. It's got to be interesting to kind of serve all facets.
It is. And you're constantly reading case law updates and stuff, so you're on knowing what's happening out there and new rules and new rulings that have come down from the Court of Appeals, so you're trying to make the correct decisions on it all.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. What do you find, you know, as, and I'm sure that was probably a huge day of celebration for you when you're like, okay, this is an honor to do this. It's pretty cool. Obviously there's not a lot of, this isn't a journey a lot of people take in their life. So it's one of the things I thought would be really interesting talking with you on, but what on a daily basis for you, what do you find to be the most difficult? What's most difficult about being a judge?
A number of different things. First off, I'm a very social person, as you know. Being a judge is very isolating. For instance, if you had a case in front of me, and Scott had a case in front of me here, I couldn't talk to either one of you out of the presence of the other, because that's ex parte contact. So if you call my office, you're never going to get me unless I give you my cell phone number, because of the fact it has to go through my judicial assistant. So it's very isolating in that way. I used to get 75 phone calls a day when I was a district attorney. Now you're down to my wife calling. And that's pretty much the extent, is you're very isolated. That and I couldn't believe my friends. Outside of my courtroom, I tell people to call me Steve, because if you're in front of me, okay, then you can call me judge, but I'm the same person I was before I got appointed.
Yeah.
And people are still very intimidated by the title. People that I've worked with at the Hockey Association and such and the Booster Club and everything, they're coming up to me and say, what do I call you now? And I said, not late for dinner, you know? I'm the same person. So
it's that, so funny, but it's true.
That is something I wasn't ready for. But besides that, you have highs, you have lows, just like everything else. It rips my heart apart when the people that Child Protection Services have to take the kids away because the parents are on drugs and they're not feeding them and they're in danger and such like that. And the parents cry at the first hearing, and by the fourth hearing they don't show up anymore, and a year later their rights are terminated to their children. And I go through withdrawals if I don't text my 23-year-old daughter twice a day.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine not being involved in your children's lives, and that's a downer. But there's other good things that happen. Hard part is my wife. I'm a very outspoken person.
Yeah.
I was very outspoken politically before this, but judges can't be political. So my wife was like, I am so happy you got appointed there. And I'm like, why? And she said, because you have to shut your mouth.
It's her best day ever.
Yes. So that's a hard part, too, is when you're in court and you do a lot of listening. Yeah. And a lot of stuff goes through your mind. And Judge Cameron left a sticky note on his bench that says, let the attorneys try the case. And I have to constantly look at that because, oh, I wouldn't ask that question or ask this question. I'm thinking to myself, yeah. You know, with the attorneys, but you have to let the attorneys try the case. You're there to hear it.
Yeah.
So a lot of different things. It was really eye-opening when you became a judge.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you really touched on that too. And when you were just talking about it, it made me think about that on a daily basis. You know, I mean, when I'm at work on a daily basis, as a general rule, you know, most people are smiling in front of me, and it's a cause for celebration. They're picking a car up. They're buying it for a family member. It's their kid's first driving experience. But on a daily basis, you're dealing, you know, it's not typically, sometimes to your point, it is, if it's a family adopting a child and they're in front of you and it's been their life dream or something like that. But on a daily basis, that has to be, there has to be a certain amount of fatigue that goes along with that, wow, I'm going to go to work today. And how many cases do you hear in a day?
It all depends. If we're in trial, that'll be my only case.
Yeah.
If we are in what we call intake court, that's, I call it the cattle call.
Yeah.
I'll have 75 cases in a 3-hour period.
Cattle call.
So people just come in.
Yep.
We have an agreement. This is done. Boom, 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 boom. Or we need another date. We need another pretrial. And we handle it that way. So I think I have about 400 open criminal cases, probably about 100 open civil cases. The family law cases never go away because once they're divorced and they're fighting about the kids, there's probably 400 of those. So there's just all these cases that you oversee. So
yeah.
And people say to me, well, do you remember this case? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I see so many cases a day, unless it's really riveting and I spend a week on it. No, I'm not going to remember that.
Yeah, that would be hard to keep all that put together. Like, all right.
You remember everybody you sold a car to in your life?
No, in fact, I have a problem with that. Like, I've learned over the past few years that I'm the worst face person ever. Like, I'll walk in someplace and you know, I always feel like that should be something I'm good at, is like remembering, you know, who bought a car at this date or this or that. But over the years, it happens to me quite frequently. I'll walk in someplace and it's the worst. And you know what I'm talking about, because somebody will come up to you and start being like, Bill, how you been? And I'm doing the, oh God, like this is the moment I'm supposed to know and I don't. So I start the conversation with, you know, where you're trying to like weed your way into, how have you been? And you're hoping, like, somewhere in there they throw out a, you know, oh, me and Sherry are doing well. And then you're like, oh, God, Sherry and such and such. But
my wife and I have an actual little skit that we go through. If I know her,
yep,
I know the person, Pam, this is Bill. Bill, this is Pam. But if I don't know her, I'll say, do you know my wife, Pam? And then she'll hit me in the arm and say, I'm sorry. And you are? I'm sorry, you know, that he did that, and you are. And then I'll hear the name, and I'll like, no clue, or that's who it is, you know. But
yeah, you got to have a team plan on that.
Yeah,
deal.
Yeah, because I'm involved in so many organizations. I've represented so many people. I've, you know, have so many of these cases that I just – and in college, I would see 5 girls, and there's one I'm interested in, and I can remember the other 4's name, but not hers. So
that's because you're nervous, then.
I'm the worst with names.
Yep,
so
I am too.
I start my court out by, I'm the person who's going to butcher all your names here today, so.
Get ready for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. So you started touching on that a little bit, but I mean, I know you, and you and I have done work together on the hockey a lot, but you really are involved in a lot of things in the community, and it's one of the things I love about you. And having known you over the years, you brought this up a little while ago, but that isolation or that And when you became judge, like how things, you know, change professionally for you because they have to. You know, I've thought about that a million times with all of the other work that you do. But what, talk about that. You do hockey. What are the other things you're involved in?
Well, I'm involved in Chippewa Youth Hockey Association. I've been vice president for about 15 years. I've been on the board. I've serving my ninth year on the Chippewa Falls Booster Club for the high school athletics. I've been on the REACH, Regional Enterprises for Adults and Children with Handicap in Eau Claire, REACH board for about 20 years now. I used to be on the UC, United Cerebral Palsy.
UCP, yeah.
That board. I've been involved in a lot of them that I care about. The Friends of the NRA, which provides youth the opportunities to shoot and training and such like that. So a number of different things like that I've been involved in over the years. As a judge now, I can't fundraise. So and the reason being is hey, Bill, your case is going to go a little bit better if you give to my cause. So, you know, that's why I can't fundraise. So I can help out with them. I can sit on the boards. But when it comes to asking for money, I can't do that anymore. Judges can't do it.
And you were a good...
And they can't use my likeness to say, hey, Judge Gibbs endorses this.
100%.
So
yeah, it changes.
Yeah, so I've gone into the, how can I put this, the advisory role rather than this. I can come in and with Scott and say, hey, Scott, this is Bill. Now you can ask him for the money. You know.
Well, you know, it's funny though. You know, you were actually a really good fundraiser. Like you, I mean, you've done a lot of work on that, and I know Chippewa Mazda owns some scoreboards, and they've been up for a while. And we just, you know, we had that conversation a couple weeks ago, just asking if they were still up and whatnot. But
yeah, your scoreboards will be there until they fall apart, and we can't repair them anymore. And that's one thing that's great about the Chippewa Valley. Is businesses like yours support the youth, and we support your businesses, and that's, it was a good partnership. We needed new scoreboards. We remodeled the area. We put yours up. You put your signs there, and literally the one that we took down was 28 years old. So in 28 years, we may hit you up for new scoreboards again.
Well, it's fun. Chippewa, you and I have had this conversation before, but Chippewa as a community is really unique in the sense that when this community needs to raise money, this is, and you said it, we're very supportive of each other, and locals in this area really support the business, and they do a great job of that. But that town, Chippewa Falls and Chippewa County, knows how to raise money.
When they wanted to redo the park, they needed to raise $3 million for phase one, and
okay, it's $3 million
in, for phase one, and $2 million for phase two, and they did it in 4 days.
It's $5 million.
When we broke ground on the ice arena, the high school locker rooms and the outdoor rink, we had pledges for $60,000. 6 months later, it was up to $1.6 million.
Unbelievable!
And actually, we raised more because people ended up giving more than they had pledged. So we were able to do other upgrades and things like that. But that's the fairgrounds. It took them 6 months to come up with money to buy that, but it was a community-based thing. So the park down there, I call it the water park, because it floods every year.
Yeah, it is the water park now.
Yeah, that's what I call it. Yep. But they raised that money in like 6 months too, and that was $10 million to put all that up. Chippewa really takes care of itself. There are a lot of philanthropic people that do it. But, you know, it's great that you have this small group of people with lots of money to do it, but we couldn't do it without the Chippewa Valley Mazdas that put the scoreboard up there. That's $20,000 that the hockey rink didn't have to come up with that will be up there at the tune of like 25 to 30 years, you think you got a good return on investment, you know, so.
It is a pretty solid return on investment, but it was just thinking in here, so we did the whole company changeover last year, and I bet that still has the M word from,
And that's why I'll shoot a picture of it to you, and
I'll
you,
have
can,
to get
you
that,
can come up
I'll
and
have to get that updated soon.
Get the Chippewa Valley over the M word.
Are we having the, Is the beer thing going on this year?
Yes. May 15th, I believe it is. We're going to do it at the outdoor rink.
Okay. Are you doing the same day as Springfest? Or?
No. Springfest went to the end of the month.
Okay.
They've had so many years of bad weather in April. And we used to do it in conjunction with them. But we did it now. We had to pick a date. And we're doing it in our outdoor rink, mostly because since the pandemic hit at the hockey rink, we were the only game in town. We had, at one time, we had the Chi High men's and women's team, along with the JV team for both men's and women's skating there. We had Eau Claire North varsity and JV. We had Eau Claire Memorial varsity and JV. We had the ECA Stars, which is a girls' team, varsity and JV there. We had the Eau Claire, University of Wisconsin Eau Claire men's team and the women's team skating up there. We had the Steel up there skating. We had the Chippewa Youth Hockey Association, all of their team skating, and then we fit in time for the Eau Claire Youth Hockey Association to skate. So we had two sheets running since August. Last March, it was...
a 24-hour day operation.
Our March board meeting was a week after the shutdown last year. And we went in there and turned off all the compressors and let the ice melt because we didn't know when we were going to turn it on. When the Supreme Court ruled that we could reopen, within 3 weeks, we had ice built and we had the ice rented. And then everybody came out of the woodwork because Hobbs was a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And we looked and we had the opportunity because one of our rinks they built for year-round. The other one was built in 77. So it doesn't have the heating and stuff, so you got to take it off for a certain time every year. And we put the second one on in August and have been going full bore.
I never thought about that, but you were truly, at that point in time, you're the only game in town.
And then the parents couldn't come in and watch their kids, so they would sit out and tailgate in the parking lot, and then they had their big screen TVs in the back of their SUVs watching the live barn camera system so they could watch their kids skate from the parking lot. So
yeah, Wisconsin people are innovative. Like, you're literally tailgating for, your kids. You can't go in, so it is what it is. I know I have a good friend that even, over from Hudson, comes over to that rink all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, she's always over here. So Beer Fest is when?
May 15th.
Okay. And so where did that start from?
Jeff Schaefer from the Gordy's clan, they wanted to promote their new liquor store. So then they saw that this was working elsewhere, and they approached us on it. And I think the first we put it together our first year in 4 weeks, and we had 200 people there. Our biggest one was 3 years ago, and there was 1,800 people there. And you get to test all these craft beers. So we did it last September because of COVID was shut down.
Yep.
We were able to do it in September. We had about 300 people there, but people just weren't ready to come out yet because weren't there.
It wasn't there yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is May, and it'll be another great event, craft tasting beers. One of the biggest things that we couldn't do food this fall because of it. So...
And you normally did pizza and stuff.
Pizza, brew pub pizza, always. Matzah Matt would come, and they donated all the food for the event to help us raise it. And people were upset last year that they didn't have the pizza there. So Matt calls me and said, we're going to be there this year. And
that's
awesome. Excellent. So
I will tell you this. The first year I went, I went in there, and I'm like, it's a shot glass. It's one shot glass of beer. That absolutely catches up to you fast.
When you taste 38 different ones,
When you always have your you always go back, you know. So you're like, when you're like, if you make it to each station, you need Uber.
And then they give you a free wristband to Springfest, and Springfest, when they started partnering with us, their beer sales tripled because. We go from 2 to 6. What do drunks want at 6 o'clock? More beer. Over to Springfest.
It's a closing act, you know. It's like, here you go. We'll shuffle you from this one spot to
the next one. Exactly. And so both of those, the Optimists and the Hockey Association, did very well, and we're hoping to do again this
so
year.
You said you have a hobby farm. You were talking about that a few minutes ago. Do you still have a hobby farm? What do
my
you
wife have? Has horses. You have to understand, my father helped get the Humane Association's new building built, and he died a week before it was done, so they dedicated it to it. My wife's on the board. So we have 5 cats, 3 dogs, 2 horses, and a goldfish from the fair that won't die. It's literally 6 inches long. It's outlived 3 aquariums.
I was talking to some of the younger generation about this the other day. I won ducks one year at the fair. Do you remember when you used to go there and you'd actually win a duck? And I remember we lived in town, and I got those ducks home, and they lived. I mean, they lived. They made it a season, and fall was starting to set in, and they were no longer cute little ducks. They were like full on like quacking ducks that we had a little cage built in. We had to go out and give them to somebody at a hobby farm. So yeah. Those things don't die. Yeah. Yeah. So you said you like to, are you a hunter?
Yeah, I love to hunt. I go up to Canada every year. Didn't get to go this year because of COVID, but yep.
Yeah.
My son and daughter both hunt with me too. Turkey and deer and whatever else we can do.
So I know your daughter, you said you text her like twice a day. Is she out of state now going to school, or is she back?
She just graduated from UWEC in December. With a criminal justice and psychology double major.
Wow, what do you do with that? Where's she going with that?
Well, her ceremony was absolutely gorgeous. Her name went across the screen for 8 seconds. She's going to law school. And she got a 90% ride to my former law school. She applied to 8 law schools, got accepted at 6, and Mitchell Hamlin offered her a 90% scholarship.
Awesome. So going and following in your footsteps.
Yeah, I tried to talk her out of it, but she really is intrigued by it. So
that's awesome. That's
my
really
son's
cool.
A senior in high school now.
Wow.
Yeah, last year.
It has been a while since I've seen you. That's crazy. He's graduating this year?
No, he will be a senior. Wow. He's a junior right now. So.
Wow. So does he know what he's going to do yet? Have the plans been set?
I think he's looking at the trades. He's really not. Looking at maybe electrician or plumber or something like that. You got a lot of friends that do that stuff, so he's going to job shadow.
Technicians, mechanics are fantastic, and
they write their own
auto sales
right now.
Industry. Yeah, truly, the technician thing is not even a joke. These techs do write their own ticket, like they literally like that. So 5 years ago, that was kind of the industry just didn't seem like. It wasn't attracting a lot of students. And now, I mean, these kids go to school for a year, 2 years at the tech school in auto mechanics. And those guys, I mean, starting out are $25, $26 an hour. And, I mean, it's just it's a great profession. But you can't find people to do it.
The trades are actually paying you to go to school and pay for your school.
We had a kid we have a kid that works here that we just tried an experiment with. So he applied for a job, was just getting into tech school, and I remember saying, hey, if you go to school and work here as a lube tech, I'll pay for your school. All you gotta do is just turn in, you have to work here for 5 years. We did a 5-year deal with him. He's turned out to be one of the best. We're probably getting close to 5 years now, but he's turned out to be one of the best employees we've ever had. So if you can grow them and you can get them that way, it's the way to do it. And to your point, they will literally pay you to go to school.
Yeah.
That's
just amazing.
Incredible. Yeah, it is.
My daughter is working for a law firm right now that is with an investment company, and it's in-house counsel.
Yeah.
They're paying her $52,000 right now until she goes to law school, since she just graduated a year. My starting salary when I got out of law school was $18,500.
Hey, do you remember what minimum wage was when you graduated? I do remember what it was. I worked a minimum wage job. I made $3.35 an hour.
Yeah, I started out at $3.10.
I was slinging buckets of chicken. I worked at a KFC making biscuits, making $3.35 an hour. It's $24 a day. $24 a day.
It's amazing. I mean, when I was in law school, car loans were 18%.
Yeah.
Mortgages were 12%. I was during the Carter and Reagan administration, where inflation was so high, it's unbelievable. What's a car loan now?
I mean, you actually could get a rate in the ones right now. And to your point, when I got in the industry in the early 90s, they were giving incentivized interest rates for 9.9%.
Yeah.
And if I showed somebody a 9.9% rate today, they'd collapse.
I got my student loans at 7%, and I thought that was just awesome because it was half of what the normal rate was.
So insane. Well, it sounds like we're about out of time, so I appreciate you being here. It's always fun to catch up with you. It's always fun to do this with you, and honestly, just really appreciate our friendship. I've always enjoyed it, and I love all the things you do. I love being your buddy, and we're due for lunch soon, so let's do that.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. If you have any questions or anything in the future, be happy to come on at any time.
Awesome. Thanks again, Mr. Gibbs. Appreciate it.
All right.
See ya.